I hear you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, big mm-hmm. sigh. Big sigh this week.
Yeah, how you feeling?
Oh, you know. All right. We took a week off from the podcast because I was really stressed out and Jess had to deal with...
I think it was... Was it 2 weeks or just one?
Just one.
Oh, okay. It just feels like forever.
We haven't recorded in 2 weeks because we took a week off.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Time is hard.
I don't do time anymore. I did time a lot when I was a kid. That fucked me up.
Yeah. You were putting like the herb time into like a rolling paper and then...
Went too hard on the time. I just wanted to smoke, but I didn't know what people were smoking. I just knew it was green. And I was like, well, we got that in like the seasoning cabinet, so...
Yeah. We just do that.
So I just would wrap that up in like a post-it note and then light it on fire and breathe it. I did not get high. I had to go to the doctor a lot.
We don't have to talk about it. I started a Substack and I wrote about it. So you can read about it if you care, but it's not that interesting. I just got really stressed out, started having some anxiety attacks, needed to take a beat and kind of hit reset. That's what I've been doing this week and it's been good.
While I was reading it, all I could think was, why doesn't Becca just not have these anxiety attacks? Like, just instead of having anxiety, don't.
So I was like trying to find books that would like help and like kind of twofold, you know, reading is proven to calm you down like when you're in a state of panic because you're not moving and you're like using your brain and it slows your breathing down and everything. So I was trying to find books about this and there was this book by this Holocaust survivor. She wrote, I had heard her on a podcast and I thought she seemed really interesting. She has this book. It's called The Gift. And it's like she talks about how like, oh, if you're ever the victim of something, just like choose not to be a victim. And she describes like how they use that mentality to like survive Auschwitz, which like I'm sure is a valid strategy for surviving that kind of situation because you just like fully dissociate and like this isn't happening, this isn't real. But in terms of like getting through the day-to-day of like having anxiety attacks, I was like, this doesn't help me.
I thought you were gonna be like, this really helped me, and I was like, that sounds like what I said except serious.
Yeah, I was like, all she's saying is like, if you're stressed, just like don't.
Yeah. Sometimes when I'm stressed, what I do is I stop. I just stop. The stress. Yeah.
Yeah.
When if I put stress on my calendar, it's just going to make me worry about it. So I don't even put it on there.
And then I found a book by someone who is younger and like works in tech. And it was like a, you know, Kindle only book. So it was like self-published. But it had some really good reviews. And he actually had like a very simple like 10 step, you know, it was like... do like deep breaths to like try to slow your heart rate and then like go for a walk outside and like all these things. It was like ruminating only makes things worse, which is like what I was doing. So it was all very practical. I was like, this is good. This helps. But mostly I just needed a week to like, there's something about like taking a week and just saying like this week is a wash and I'm not expected to do anything this week. was very freeing for me and that helped a lot, I think.
Well, good. I never know when sometimes you'll come into the group chat with some stress. I'm like, are we doing jokes or are we saying that's okay or like we trying to find solutions? So I default to not responding.
Well, the other thing was like I started having these panic attacks like about work and school and everything. I like it would be about nothing. I would just start like sobbing and I could not articulate what was happening. And then my mom and my nephew got COVID. And my mom was really sick for a few days. And I'm sure she got it on her travels here in Denver. Neither of us got sick and we both tested negative. David and I both tested negative. But yeah, she was really, really sick for a few days. And so that was very stressful. And I, yeah, she didn't have like, she couldn't find her thermometer. They didn't have like a pulse oximeter. David and I have been like preppers since day one of COVID. So we've had all those things just in case. So I sent her on Amazon, like thermometer, oximeter, like all of the things. I was like, take your measurements every hour. Like I was freaking out. So, but she's doing a lot better now. Her only symptom still is that she doesn't have taste, which is a big bummer. She keeps like texting me the crying emoji and just being like, I want to taste my coffee. I feel so bad.
I'm going to make her some food. That's going to wake up her taste buds.
She can kind of taste sweet stuff, which is like, I think that's a thing is like you get older. So like you have old people really love candy. Because, like, their sense of taste starts to go away. But,
we're just
like,
making
the last
big sweeping switch statements today. Old people really love candy. You heard it here.
No. This is a thing. So as your taste starts to go away, the last thing that you lose is, like, your sweet taste buds.
I hope I die before I get there.
Yeah. So old people tend to really like sweet food because they can taste it. So anyway, so she can kind of taste chocolate a little bit, but she was like cleaning our bathroom with bleach and was like, I can't even smell the bleach. It's like, oh no.
Were you like, yeah, sure, but can you taste it?
Hopefully that gets better soon. I looked it up and like the average is like within 3 weeks is when most people get it back, and it's only been a week for her, so hopefully soon. But otherwise everyone's good. My nephew tested negative yesterday, which was awesome because apparently sometimes babies can test positive for like up to 3 months.
Overachievers.
Yeah,
just I feel on. Like he's not a baby though. He's like a muscle that can talk, so
he can't just talk yet though,
but he almost can.
He says gog for a dog. Gog. That's his word.
How does he say Cammy?
Just gog. He started to say kitty, but it kind of sounds like titty, so.
Even better.
Yeah.
Even better.
Yeah. But I get to see him today. That's very exciting. Because I haven't been able to see him. But yeah, stuff's a little better. I feel a little better. Yeah, we're back.
I mean, I feel like podcast. That we're doing a podcast is proof that you're feeling better.
That's big stuff. Yeah, last week, Jess and I were both having such a week that we didn't even really have to ask. We were just like, so this, we're not doing it this week, right? Yeah. Like, there's no way.
I was, I think I'd mentioned Chris was having surgery, and so I was taking care of them, and it was, like, that wasn't unexpected. We knew that was happening, but what was unexpected was that they lost, like, almost 40% of all the blood in their body. And the doctors are like, we don't have to put any back in. You'll figure it out. So they've been dealing with a much more difficult recovery than we expected. So I've been hanging with them. I'm supposed to be home like this weekend and not staying over in Oakland, but I'm actually going back. I've got a tattoo tomorrow afternoon. They'll be back there for the week. So just given some extra time. On the plus side though, I mean, the plus side is I got to spend a bunch of time with Chris, which is fun. But the other plus side is that I got acclimated to their cats finally, because I'm terribly allergic to cats, but I love them. And so I actually have been sleeping better at their place than I do at mine. I don't know how. I assume it's because they are there. But the nice thing is I'm not dying, snuffling, and, you know, itchy-eyed and all that.
Yeah. That's very confusing why they wouldn't get a transfusion of blood.
They said they considered it, and I'm like, why?
We thought about it.
Like, we had the blood. We brought it out to you. We were going to hook it in, and somebody's like, no, let's just see what happens.
Let's just see what was.
Yeah, you know what? People grow new blood all the time.
Well, you do, but it takes time, and it also is exhausting.
Yeah, it'll take months. So I don't know what the plan for that is. excuse me. We talked to the doctor. Well, they talked to the doctor on Thursday, and the doctor's like, looks good. You don't seem anemic. Don't know why you have these symptoms. And then, like, the blood test was barely better than when they were in the hospital. So I don't know what to think. I also got my booster last week. So Chris went in for the surgery on the 3rd and the day before I got my COVID booster and had some blood drawn. So I felt like shit the next day. And then the surgery took way longer than we thought. Like, it was supposed to be maybe 3 or 4 hours and then they'd be home. So I went home and I went back to their place and fell asleep for a little bit because we had to get them there at 5:30. And then was expecting to wake up and get a call within an hour or two. So I was feeling fine. And then it had been like 5 hours, 6 hours. And I was like, what is going on? And who do I talk to find out? And it was worse because my uncle had just gone in for not a routine surgery, but like a surgery.
A regular surgery.
Yeah. And then never woke up. And so I was like, okay.
Yeah, there's
this
a little
fine
trauma there. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
so
stressful.
We were processing that. But then I got a call from the nurse. The weirdest part was they were like, you can come visit and see them. They may stay overnight. So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to come in and at least bring them stuff they need for overnight. And they were like, you just have to show proof of vaccination. I'm like, oh, great. I've got a picture of it on my phone and I've got the digital record. I'm like, no, you need to bring the card. I'm like, why would I carry the card with me? So I had to drive all the way back to the city at rush hour, drive back to Oakland. But by the time I got back, they were like, oh, I'm coming home tonight. So we did that.
That is like the big thing is like we have all these, there's tons of methods now for digital proof. But like people who are accepting the vaccination records don't know how to process the digital proof. Even if the digital proof is like certified, verified with your ID, like all that, it doesn't count for some people, which is really weird. No, you do have to carry the card. Like, it's weird. Nowhere in Denver has started asking for it, and I kind of wish that they would. Like, I really wish our gym would.
A lot of places here ask for it, but we just show them. Yeah. They take a picture of it with your ID.
Yeah. Yeah. So. That makes sense. I wish our gym would require it. Because we go to this climbing gym. It's a climbing gym, and then it also has, like, a regular gym.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if you know this, but wearing a mask while you're working out is really difficult.
I've been wearing a mask while I play saxophone, and let me tell you, it's
How
not good.
Does that work?
We cut a hole in the mask. I think I sent you guys a picture. There's, like, a...
That's
we
dumb.
We cut the mask up. Well, it covers your nose, and then you're blowing in the horn, and then on the horn we have covers over the bells. And it's they've been doing this in schools, I guess, since last year. But there are studies that show, hey, this is the best way to cut down on transmission if you're still going to play. So I get why we're doing it. It doesn't bother me for protecting people. What bothers me is the mask touches my reed and then I squeak. And I'm like, I don't squeak when I play a saxophone. I'm not bad. And so it's been such a pain in the ass trying to do that. But I'm playing percussion for this next concert, too. So those are when I don't worry about it.
Yeah. We went climbing this morning. It was quite fun.
Nice. I've thought about joining a climbing gym. They have a couple here in the city that are part of like a network. I know.
Really
I'm going to wait until after our ski trip in January because I'm not going to have enough time. Like, I'm going to be back in Michigan for 2 weeks in December.
Well, you can try it when you're here because we have guest passes. So you can try
it. Oh, that's true. Team, go to the climbing gym.
Team climb.
We're going skiing, so that's what we're talking about. We're going skiing in Keystone, right?
Yep.
Over the MLK weekend, because it's a long weekend for us. So I'm going to go out there, and Alex and Ben are coming, and Reese, and Chris is probably coming. Still a chance that they won't, but probably. Although I don't know. Like, I feel like you're going to... There's still going to be anemic at that point, so I don't know if skiing is a great... Like, in the cold is an option, but we got to talk about because we need to buy flights. At any rate... I'm super excited because then we're going to stick around an extra week, too, and hang out and go to Stoney's.
Yeah. Will Chris stay an extra week, too?
No, Chris won't stay.
Okay. Well, that's going to be great fun. We'll go to Stoney's. We'll go climbing. We'll work from home all together. Big team.
I know. I'm so
co-working
excited.
Space.
We'll be at the table.
Hashtag Team Becca's Apartment.
Yeah. We can add Ben as a single channel guest.
Yeah.
That's
Help
so funny.
Help Desk will love that. Hi. We want to add our friend to this dumb channel for no business reason. It'd be like,
can't,
please
wait,
don't
can't
fucking
Kyle
waste
do
our
it?
Time.
Kyle could do it, right?
No.
What's the point?
They turn down like
Kyle?
Real business reasons for single channel guests.
Oh no, I know. I'm in a couple for various projects, and I could tell it was like pulling teeth to get them set up. So,
yeah.
All right, you didn't send me any posts yet, but I feel like we should do some posts.
Yeah. So I've got that. I've got a split screen here. I got the football game on. Michigan is playing Penn State right now.
How's it going?
Still the first half. They have 3 points. We have no points. But mm-hmm. So there's a lot of time.
Anybody's game. Yeah.
Anybody's game. Exactly.
We could have 40 points and they could have 2 points. I mean, technically, they could have 2 points. And it would still be like, this may not go Michigan's way.
Yeah, that was like last week. We were beating Indiana by 33-7. And people were like, I jokingly tweeted, like, Michigan is only beating Indiana by 23 points. Here's why. That's actually terrible. And it was a joke.
Here's why Michigan is fucked.
And then as I was like watching the game, they fucking bring up this like infographic on the screen and they're like, Jim Harbaugh can't win big games. He only wins the games he's supposed to win already. Here's why that's bad. And I was like, fucking
Jesus.
God damn.
I liked my tweet that said, Jim Harbaugh, a team coached by Jim Harbaugh has never defeated the Detroit Red Wings. Is he in the hot seat?
That was good.
Because that's the attitude of some of these.
Oh, yeah. 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 I think we'll win this game. I think it'll be close, though. The spread is like 1.5 points. So.
Points on points.
You know, I think it's going to be stressful. Ooh, big throw. Big throw. Nope. All right. So I sent you some posts.
I see that. I see them right here.
I saw this one first, so I'm actually going to read this one. Am I the asshole for refusing to return my $400 wedding dress like my fiance requested? Probably not. Want to have some water?
She's drinking water right now. I can see it.
We hit the point in Colorado where one day we just woke up and like our lips were chapped and our noses were like bleeding and like,
yeah,
hands were cracked. It was
my
like
my whole first visit
summer.
There. That was my life.
Yeah. So I think we had mostly like acclimated. Ooh, that was a good throw. We had mostly acclimated. And then like, I don't know, winter is just so dry. Like summer is dry, but like we had been fine. And then it was like one day I just woke up and my lips were bleeding and like my throat was so dry. My hands are cracked. I was like, how is this in one day? It's just like, oh my God, it's so dry. So now I'm just drinking water constantly and I still feel dehydrated.
I couldn't figure out why the two of you like didn't seem to get how bad I was struggling while I was there. The first time I was like, I cannot stay hydrated. My lips are always chapped. I'm dying. But now, and I drink so much water, and I think that's probably why it was worse for me is I'm normally very hydrated, and it was a big shift. You guys, at least, I don't know, we're used to it a little bit. But it's so bad. The second time I came there, it wasn't as bad, and I don't know if that was because it was summer as opposed to winter, but it was hard. I drink so much water, and I just pee 18 times a day.
Yeah, and Keystone is like 3,000 feet higher than Denver, so...
We went up the Flatirons that one time, and that was pretty high.
No, because that's Boulder, which is at the same elevation as Denver. So, like, Keystone has a starting elevation way higher than
Denver. Oh, and then you go up.
And then you go up to ski, yeah.
Perfect.
So, I'm going to be, like, shoving water down all my friends'
throats.
I'm going to
get one of those backpacks that is water.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's hard, too, because when you ski, like... You ski, you go down the mountain a few times, then you stop at the lodge. You're like, let's have a drink with lunch. Blah, blah, blah. We'll have a coffee. It's cold. Have a hot chocolate. It's like, no, fucking chug water.
For me, all I drink is water. It is rare that I will have anything else. So,
yeah.
And I probably won't drink. I know we're not getting in the post here. With Chris, like, I've been eating a lot better and drinking a ton of water just because I was cooking for both of us, and so there wasn't a bunch of food for me to just eat by myself. And so I lost like 5 pounds in the week. I know that's not exact because
it's water weight.
Five pounds would be dangerous, but it went down measurably, and I felt great. And then last night I went out and had like really good pizza and a couple of drinks with some friends, and it was fantastic. But then today I weighed 2 pounds more, and I was like. That's why I don't drink very often. Yeah, no, I know. I'm not worried about it. And I'm going on one of my big walks today, so it'll be fine. But
yeah,
it's just that is such a stark difference in a day.
Oh, yeah. It's upsetting. We went to the Denver Tech meetup. I was like, it's a monthly happy hour for like people in tech in Denver. I was like, whatever.
The people ruining Denver.
We went and we sat at a table, met a couple people. They're pretty friendly, actually. And it was fine. But the place that it was at didn't have food. They just had beer. Mm. And it was like no beers that I liked. It was just like IPAs and stouts. And
what do you expect in a Texas meetup? Come on.
So we went there, and then after like an hour, we left and we went to Stoney's and had, yeah, we had
the salad.
So I had an Angry Orchard there. Maybe I had two. I don't remember. We had that salad and the mac and cheese spring rolls and the Brussels sprouts and some fries, and it was delicious. But yeah, the morning after that, I've been losing weight pretty consistently for the last like 6 weeks, and the morning after that, I was like 3 pounds heavier than the day before, and I was like, what the fuck? It went right back down the next day, but it was
I know.
What?
It's just funny to see. Like, I weigh myself every week, so I like the metrics, and I like to kind of track day to day, but I recognize it's not really a reading of your weight because it can fluctuate so much. But when you see that, you're like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, that's why this app that I'm using tells you to weigh yourself every single day, because, like, if you're only weighing yourself, like, once a week, there's a chance you weigh yourself on like an off day when you're just bloated. And then you're like, I haven't made any progress. And then like if you're always weighing yourself like on Saturday after you go out drinking on Friday, like you're going to always be upset.
This is terrible.
Yeah, I can't lose any weight. I feel that. Right. Should we read a post?
I guess. We're almost due for our break, so.
Okay. Am I the asshole for refusing to return my $400 wedding dress like my fiance requested? I, female, 27, have been with my fiancé for 2 years. He is 32, divorced doctor, and lived in another town, but we moved in together 7 months ago and got engaged. Unlike my exes, he is a decent, level-headed guy, though he can be a bit overdramatic when it comes to financials. I have a feeling this is going to be like every Reddit post ever about relationships. For like, he's the sweetest guy, love of my life, so nice, so respectful. Except one time I didn't do what he wanted me to do, and he called me a bitch. So
and then he flipped my car over.
All right. Growing up, I've always dreamed of what my wedding dress will look like. I went wedding dress shopping with friends, although my fiance wanted to go with me like he always does. What? But of course he couldn't. Hmm. He always goes shopping with you? That's... I purchased a really, really nice wedding dress that I instantly fell in love with. It is perfect in every aspect, and it only costs $400. That's a great deal since wedding dresses tend to be expensive here. Absolutely. Yeah, that is very cheap.
If you
cheap.
Love it, and if that's all it is, like, great.
That is really cheap.
You can
that's
put
perfect.
The money you saved into the post-wedding taco bar.
I think my mom's wedding dress in the 80s cost $800. So
with inflation, that's $2 million now.
Holy shit. Good throw. Oh, touchdown. We did it. Okay.
We. Glad I got that. Curious usage of the word we.
I didn't say we. Did I say we?
You said we. It's okay. I do that with the Red Wings. So.
That's my school.
And that's my wife.
That's my boy. That's
my boy.
Okay, we got to get to the post. We're just going to keep getting sidetracked. This is why I didn't take my meds today. Can you tell?
Oh, no.
Yeah, we're off the rails. Okay. Okay, so it was $400. That's a great deal. Yeah, it is. When I got back, I was so thrilled. My fiance asked to see it and then asked how much it cost. When I told him, he was in dismay and started complaining, saying I wasted that much money on a colorless dress. What does that color have to do with it? And then I'll only
should've
wear
been green.
For just a few hours and should have bought a $150 dress or less. My bridesmaid dress when I was in a wedding was $150. Like, where do you think you're going to find a $150 wedding dress? Goodwill? Like,
you make it. If you really love somebody, you make your own wedding dress.
I feel like that's still going to be more than $150.
No. No, it won't. It better not be.
Or I'll kill you. Okay. I said, no, wedding dresses are a huge deal to every bride. He argued about how weddings and everything that come with them are just part of the laws of our society keeps enforcing on us, and only smart brides save money instead of blowing it all on a dress.
You dumb bride.
I replied that I didn't appreciate how he belittled my joy with the dress, and he said he didn't think he is entering a marriage with a financially responsible woman, which is a huge problem, and demanded I fix my mistake and return the dress to get a cheaper one ASAP. I said this was ridiculous since I worked and paid for the dress with my money, and also I care about the type of wedding dress I want to wear on my big day, and every bride wants to look amazing in their dream wedding dress, and he obviously has no idea. He laughed at me, asking if I was even listening to myself, talking like a spoiled 16-year-old about her, quote, future dream wedding. What the fuck? He said I was wrong for not consulting him about the dress before buying it. Otherwise, we wouldn't even be having this discussion. Long story short, I refused to return it, and he pitched a fit, calling me irresponsible and childish for being okay with blowing that much money on a dress, even though we're doing well financially. But he was having none of it. He left after saying, I have XYZ days to return the dress and we'll talk. He texted saying he doesn't understand how I'm choosing a dress over him and acting inconsiderate of his feelings since he's the one I'm marrying and not the goddamn dress. He hasn't talked to me since and keeps redirecting my messages and calls. Am I the asshole? No. And he has given you a gift. He has shown you what big of an asshole he is before you sign any paperwork.
I like he's already divorced. So I got to imagine something similar on the first time. The good news is they're both going to save a ton of money because they shouldn't get married. So they don't have to have a wedding.
They're not going to get married.
That's perfect.
Yeah, let's see.
There's no other comments or posts by this person, but like nobody here is saying that she's the asshole.
Absolutely not. This is crazy. And like, it's so insulting to be like, I thought you were smart, but you care about how you look. It's like, you can be both.
Sounds like you're too wrapped up in society, Seth.
Yeah, society, Seth. Like, you can be smart and want to look pretty and feel like a princess.
I'm just glad that you're only smart and you don't worry about looking pretty. Go to commercial.
Got questions about that one. Okay.
This is wild. It seems like a lot of gaslighting. Maybe like this is one story, but I gotta imagine there's other stuff that happens in that relationship where she's like, I really wanted to buy, you know, a pop, but he said only idiots drink caffeine. Why would I spend my money on that? And it's not responsible. So instead I had no liquid for 2 days.
Somebody like there's a thread of comments of saying, so somebody said, not the asshole. Is this really the guy you want to spend the rest of your life with? A doctor who hounds you for a $400 wedding dress? You're not even worth $400 to him. Think about that. Reading this reeks of the beginning of financial abuse. He demanded you return a dress that you paid for with your own money. What next is he going to complain about that you spent too much money on? Shoes, a TV, a couch, food, clothes for your future kids? And somebody said, to answer your questions, yes, 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 and yes, and yes, she will marry this guy. Somebody said, yeah, she's not responding to anything. She's already decided to return the dress and just wants to know if she was, quote, right, so that this can haunt her entire marriage.
Yeah, she'll never forget this. It's so bad. Yeah. Like, just the attitude and the way she describes it is troubling.
Yeah, troubling.
Like, let people have their dreams. Why are you getting married? Why does he want to get married in the first place? I can't imagine, like, if you were like, $400 is so good, I'm so happy with this. Like, surely you've bought shoes or, I don't know, something else that he was like, this is dumb. You're so dumb.
Yeah, like...
like there must have been
also
signs
like
before.
Don't you want your partner to be happy? Like, you can afford it. Why are you he's a doctor and she it's her money. Like, it's not even his money.
Look, some people are doctors and don't make a lot of money, Becca.
But like, it's just the idea, like, it's your money. Like, if I went out today and bought a dress, just a dress that was $400, David would be like, do you like it? Okay, cool. Like, that there's
he'd
no
try
discussion
it on, though,
to be
too.
Had
that's
here.
That's the difference.
It's your money. Like, why is he? Also, he's just grossly like misunderstands how much money weddings cost. Like, what
yeah,
is
I'm
the
interested
plan
to
here?
Know what is the rest of it. Like,
what's the
is
budget?
He like? We don't need to provide food. It's quick. We get in the church. We get out of the church. We don't have to feed these people.
Yeah, it's gonna be one of those weddings with a cash bar and no food.
Oof! I'm not going. Oof. I don't care if they invite me.
I'm not going.
Forget it.
Forget it. Like, the only thing that he said that made sense was that they should have discussed it beforehand. And yeah, because then you would have saved yourself a headache.
Well, yeah, I guess that's true. Because I was going to say, what is the discussion? She's like, well, it's my money and I want this dress. I've dreamed of it forever. And he'd be like, you absolute buffoon.
Idiot. You fucking selfish, dumb bimbo. You look so stupid right now. Yeah. You are so dumb right now.
That's what I tell myself in the mirror when I'm trying on hats.
You look so dumb.
Did you finish watching Ted Lasso yet? The second season? Becca, I watched all of the chess show.
We haven't finished the first season yet. I've been very busy. Leave me alone.
Last night you were playing a race car game, so.
Yeah, it was relaxing. Ted Lasso is like a little stressful.
There's a lot. There's big feelings in it.
It's heartwarming, but it's emotional. And I just am not always in the headspace for that.
Yeah, you're dead inside and can't feel anymore, so.
Yeah.
All right, let's take our break then, right? Actually, like, in the middle of the show for once. And cool. We'll come back and do a couple more posts.
Are we back from our break?
We can be back from our break. Yeah, absolutely.
I don't want to jinx anything, but David and I are buying a house. But together? It's a little, yeah. Why? It's a little lake house.
It better not be more than $400.
It's two houses down from the one that my parents have up north.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like one property in between.
Is it two houses left or right? Right.
South.
I don't know what that means. When we look left. Out towards the
left. Okay. Yeah, left. Left.
So it's towards the structure where the top we jump off of.
That guy will be our neighbor. Yeah.
Wow.
So in that panoramic picture that we took a few years ago, the house that we're buying is probably.
Oh, you
that
can
picture.
See it? Nice. I took that. Checked, I swam with probably. My phone out to the floating dock.
And
I was like, why are you
phone?
Swimming with your phone? I'm like, it's water resistant. I don't care. I got Apple Care. We got Apple Care.
It's fine. And yeah, Jess is one of those people that like doesn't use a case. She just waves her phone around. She's like, whatever, Apple Care, blah.
Because it'll replace it. And especially now because they have two incidents a year, it is not likely for me to break my phone more than once in a year. Has it happened? Absolutely. But is it likely? No.
But so it's actually like it's somebody in the 70s basically took a mobile home and put it on foundation on this property, and then it's been like converted into a permanent home. But so it's old. It needs some definitely needs some love.
It needs a second bathroom.
No, we're not gonna do that.
I mean, eventually you have to.
No, I mean, after a few years, we're probably just going to bulldoze it and put, I don't know, a house there.
There's one house on that lake that looks like a supervillain, like Stronghold. It's all glass and granite or something, stone. And it looks so out of place with the rest of them. But I really
that
think
one's
that's
for
what
sale.
You should build. Why don't you get that one?
Because it's $700,000.
Okay.
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 I bet it has more than one bathroom. No, it's fine. I can pee basically anywhere. When we were there last time, we saw the whole damn Milky Way.
Yep.
That was very moving. And you've got a fire
Isn't
pit. We can play guitar at the fire pit. I mean, it was up there with when Chris and I saw the moon through the telescope. Like, it just...
Yeah.
It's such a big feeling to be like, this is a real thing. Like, you don't... think about it too often. You know it's there, but then you see it for real and you're like, oh my god, I'm so little.
I found the old panoramic. You can see the house that we're buying in there in that picture.
Nice.
Yeah. So yeah, it's just this little greenhouse, and it technically has three bedrooms, but not really. So it's two bedrooms, one bathroom, and then it has a basement that has a bedroom that's finished, but to get to that bedroom, you have to go outside and go downstairs and go inside through another
door.
That's
Alex's room.
Well, so they have these really nice bunk beds. They're like queen size bunk beds in mm-hmm. that room. And so we're a part of our negotiation is like, I want those to stay. Because if we have friends come up, then we can just like shove everybody down there. Because we're not going to have beds. We're just going to have our bedroom. And then the second bedroom is really, really tiny. So that's going to be an office. So we might have like a pullout couch upstairs for like when David's parents come, so we don't make them like
you go
stay
outside.
In the basement. Yeah, go outside. Go lay down. But I think like when we have a bunch of friends come up and stuff, we're just gonna shove people down there. It is nice down there, and it's cooler in the summer.
Well, I feel like at least as long as your parents have the other house too, you probably will have access to those facilities as well. So like if people were coming and couldn't all fit just in your place, there are bedrooms available.
Well, that was the thing. We're like, we're not just buying a lake house. Like that's what makes the negotiations of this harder, because the guy's asking a little bit too much for it, considering that it's like a mobile home from the 70s, but it does have its own private lakefront property. It's really nice. But we were like, we only want this one because it's next to our parents' mm-hmm. like cottage. So like, we're not just looking for any lake house. It's not like we can like lowball him, and if he doesn't negotiate, we walk away. It's like, no, we have to like land on a price with this specific house. So, but
and
yeah,
then later when your parents want to sell theirs, I'll buy that one, and then we'll make a bridge from that one.
Well,
to
part
other
of
one.
The impetus is that my dad has said he's never selling that place because they've put
a lot
of work
into it.
Oh, they're
just gonna give it to me? Wow.
They've said like it's gonna go to either my brother or I. So mm-hmm. depending
well,
on
if
who
you
wants
already
it.
Have one. Becca and David were really like, hey, maybe the whole team could buy houses on the lake. We just have our lake houses.
Well, so that's the thing, is that the property that's in between the one that we're trying to buy and the one that my parents have, it has two like really shitty cabins on it, and it's owned by this family. So it's two brothers, and their mom gave it to them like a few years ago or sold it to them for super cheap or whatever. But they are garbage people. Not just that they're like,
what if they
really
listen to
trashy.
The podcast?
They're not. It's not just that they're like really trashy, but they're like very rude. They have like four giant dogs. So they don't have any money, but they have four purebred different large breed dogs.
Oh, those are the ones they that run like, around off leash all
yes,
the time.
Yes. Yes. So they have a purebred Golden, a purebred German Shepherd, and a purebred Rottweiler, and then I think one other dog. But purebred dogs are expensive, so I don't know what's happening there. Like, what kind of breeder are they getting these dogs from? And then they never leash them, so we can never bring like Cammy down by the water because they just like let these giant dogs run around and like mm-hmm. own the place. It's just very stressful because Cammy doesn't like other dogs, and she would bite them. So, you know, there's that. But they all like don't eat food and just like eat cigarettes by the carton. And so, you know, they might die soon, and then we'll get that property. So
I would love if they died.
For multiple reasons.
Yeah, it's unrelated.
So then we're just going to slowly consume that whole corner of the lake.
Until it's
just people
Becca knows.
We'll get all our friends to have little cabins. Yeah, we'll get all our friends to have little cabins up there.
Yeah, if you guys want to buy me a cabin, I'll gladly accept it.
Oh,
I'm willing to do that.
It was funny because I was like talking. I was like, "That'd be so cool! Like Jess could have like a cool like condo in San Francisco and a little lake house in Michigan." And David was like, "The cool thing about that is like a condo in San Francisco and a lake house is roughly the same cost as a condo in San Francisco." It's like at that point, the cost of the lake house is just in the noise.
Look, I'm probably going to be running Duo by then, so I'm sure it's fine. I'll have so much money.
It's going to be great.
We'll figure it
out.
We're
going to have so much friend time at the lake.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to read this post. The post that I have chosen is, am I the asshole for calling my friend an idiot? It turns out it's not about me and Becca. It's not about us. But I think we're all going to learn some lessons here. It says, I am bi. I am having been dating my girlfriend for 5 years. My friend Anna keeps calling me a lesbian. I mostly ignore it. It's shitty because I struggled a lot with my attraction to women, and figuring out that I was bi was a very complex process emotionally for me. I keep repeating that I am bi, but she has never listened to me. Another friend recently came out as bisexual. We were talking about her, and Anna joked that she was probably bi the same way I was. I asked what she meant by that, and she explained how I came out as bi and then immediately started dating my girlfriend instead of just coming out as gay. I yelled at her that I was not a lesbian. I had a girlfriend, but that didn't mean I wasn't attracted to men. I told her to shut the fuck up about my sexuality or anyone else's sexuality and to mind her own business and stop being an idiot. I feel embarrassed, honestly. I feel like an asshole because there isn't much drama in our group, and I have started major drama. Most people in my group are straight, and they are taking her side, but I have a few people backing me. I just feel like I got angry too quickly and should have corrected her, but just blowing up. No, fuck that bitch. I hate Anna.
Yeah.
Bi erasure is such a real thing, and people do that all the time where they're like, you're just figuring out that you're gay. Or they think that because you're bi, you're more likely to cheat on people. And I'm like, I cheat on people because I'm an asshole. It has nothing to do with my sexuality. And they never get that. So, no, I think the friend is an asshole. And absolutely, it is. Especially if you've tried to correct them.
Yeah. I just don't think it's anybody's place to assume anything about anyone's sexuality.
Well, just especially if people have told you, like, this is who I am, you should just go, cool, I accept that and we'll recognize that.
Yep.
It's not like a trick. It's not hard. Just don't be terrible to people.
What?
I know. It sounds crazy. Personally, I don't even like saying that. It sounds dumb, but.
Ooh, big sack. Nice.
Oh, what? Did David walk into the room?
I can't record the podcast and watch football. It's too
stressful. You absolutely can't. Because I was talking and I see you not paying attention.
And then I yell, big sack.
What was I even talking about?
Yeah.
She's not even crocheting this week. It's just football and glazed over eyes. It's like the Totino's commercial where they just keep yelling, or referee or whatever. I don't remember what they're
saying. Go, touchdown. My hungry guys.
What's going on to my hungry guys? But no, what, like, I hate this shit. I hate when people are like, this is who I am. And other people are like, okay, but you're not really. It's like, well, then why would I tell you that I am?
There was a fumble.
Oh, okay. Sure, you know that. Anyway.
I agree. I've always told people my sexuality is straight, except for Kristen Stewart in the Totino SNL sketch. Mm. That's it. Yep. Mm.
That doesn't make sense. But personally, I have always felt like, hey, you know, the gender of a person doesn't matter. You like who you like, so don't worry about it. But society doesn't allow that to happen, so I get why we have the labels and people get tied to those. And I think I confuse people because sometimes I'll say that I'm gay instead of bi or queer or whatever. I'm like, I don't actually care for me personally. But for people that do care, I know it matters to them, the terms you use and how you refer to them, whether it's their sexuality or their pronouns and gender identity and stuff. So I don't know why people can't just not be assholes. It's not that hard. One day I woke up and I said, I'm not going to be an asshole anymore except to people I like.
Yeah.
You're not paying attention again. I see you looking at the football.
You're not an asshole except for the people that you like, which is true.
I actually used to be really shitty. You know, slick back hair. Sloppy
I used
steaks.
To be a piece of shit. Well, I was going to say, I love that you're sitting here and being like, people should just never assume anything about anyone's sexuality. But then you're like, Becca says she's straight, but she used to drive a Subaru. So, like, who's
listen,
to say?
Don't drive a Subaru then. That's a gay car for gays.
They're great cars.
I don't care. I don't know. I don't get overly defined in my sexuality because I'm like, I just like people.
But that's you. Like that's different.
Yeah, no, that's why I'm like, I don't, for me, I don't care. But for other people, it matters a lot to them. So.
Yeah. I think what's important is that I identify as super straight.
Yeah. Becca makes gay people become straighter just by being around them.
It's the opposite. My high school boyfriend ended up being gay. Mm-hmm. He's now engaged to a man and I'm happy for him.
I'm excited for David.
Great stuff. Oh. all right.
Read the next one.
All right, then we're gonna wrap it up.
Oh, we're gonna wrap
it up. Am I the asshole for not defending my girlfriend? Probably. One of my best friends, Ben, male, 26.
Wait a minute.
Ben?
Ben's not that old. He's 22.
He's a baby child. And his girlfriend, Claire, female, 26, invited my male, 29, and my girlfriend, female, 29, for dinner to meet her for the first time. Okay, so the poster and his girlfriend, they're both 29. They went to meet Ben, their friend, and his girlfriend.
Both 26.
They asked her where she is from. Ben, Claire, and I live in the capital of the country. Girlfriend lives in a city surrounding area 1 hour away. Context, in our country, people from the capital tend to have a prejudice against people who live out of it.
That's they live in the Hunger Games. Okay.
Ben and Claire also originally come from a surrounding city, but they live in a fancy area in the capital now. I want to know what country this is. And they were shocked that she lives so far away and has to travel by public transport for over an hour to see me. My girlfriend just shrugged. This could be the U.S. because, like, there's D.C. and then there's, like, Annapolis, Maryland. It's like, oh, you gotta take a train? Poof. Poor.
Get a car.
Get a car, idiot. Okay. The trains in D.C. are the best. They're so good. Okay. Ben and Claire have a roasting kind of humor, and I'm used to it. They roasted me during dinner, and the three of us laughed. My girlfriend didn't. Ben asked my girlfriend if she had traveled abroad because he didn't, quote, want to have a rich kid conversation in front of a poor person. Holy shit.
I don't like
my girlfriend's. My girlfriend said yes just once, and Claire said, then you can't sit with us, and laughed. Ben explained that he and Claire traveled abroad many times. These people fucking suck. At one point, Claire made a comment to my girlfriend about how nice it must be not having to think about what to cook, as she still lives with her parents. It's a sore subject for her. My girlfriend said yeah weakly and was pretty quiet throughout dinner. Yeah, she felt like shit. Afterwards, I thanked her for coming and meeting my friend, and she was quiet. Later on, she said she felt attacked with rude comments under the pretense that it's just joking and that I should have seen that she was uncomfortable and should have defended her. I know Ben and Claire were not ill-intended, but I feel bad my girlfriend had a bad time and didn't notice. Am I the asshole?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're the absolutely. Assholes too. You're all assholes.
Yeah.
You are a bunch of
this
assholes
is one of those things,
being mean to this poor girl.
This is one of those things where, like, assuming positive intent can actually be super toxic because you're like, well, I know that they don't mean anything by it and it doesn't matter because she feels bad.
I feel like they do mean stuff by it, though. That all feels very targeted. That's not like a one-off joke. That's, hey, we know you don't have money and you ride the train and you can't travel. Just kidding.
Like, just kidding. We know you're poor. Just kidding.
That's from a Mike Birbiglia special.
What's it like being poor?
That's what I said last night, and you were like, what's that from? I don't understand how you go, oh, no, this is just how we are with our friends. Like, we just shit all over each other. Like, we do that to each other, but we wouldn't do, like, we don't do that when Chris is there. Like, when you guys met Chris, we weren't acting the way we act towards each other, towards them, you know?
No, just towards each other.
Yeah, I acted that way towards David from the beginning because that was different. He's new.
You know the rapport you can have with your friends. You can't just do that with a new person right off the bat.
Right?
Unless this seems super cool. Imagine if we had met Chris and, like, right off the bat, I was like, so you're dating Jess, so you must be a big fucking idiot.
And they would have been like, yeah, that's probably true.
You must be so dumb.
Yeah, you look so dumb. I see you holding hands. What the hell?
I bet that dress was $400, you idiot.
You seem like someone who's not financially responsible.
You seem like a big dummy.
Yeah.
Dumb.
No, I don't. Like, I think we're pretty good about reining it in when we meet other people. Like, first we're, like, super chill. Everyone's nice. And then two times we hang out later and it's like, you're dumb. Your parents don't love you.
Yeah. I don't either. But, like, you got to feel it out first.
Yeah. Even if that is your sense of humor, unless you know how to temper it around people who don't like that sense of humor, you're an asshole.
But even then, like, there's a difference between, like, like, haha, you're stupid, and like, you're poor. What's it like to live with your parents, yeah, poor person?
Do you
What's
only the train eat like, Pop-Tarts poor? And beans?
Yeah, like, this is just, that's not a joke. That's not even funny. Like, it's just, what?
And even the way you say it, like, they're not particularly funny about it. We don't want to have a rich kid conversation from a poor person. Like, that's so
mean. That's not even funny.
Yeah, that's not that's like, ha ha ha. That's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. I don't like it. I don't like these people.
Yeah, I don't like it. Mm-hmm. Someone said, you're the asshole. You don't deserve her. You brought her to dinner with your friends where they attacked her and made fun of a total stranger because of their own prejudice. And you didn't even notice that she wasn't having fun. That sums it up right there.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Powerful. Powerful stuff.
Well,
you got to watch football. What's the score at?
7-3 still.
This will be good if they lose. This will be like a time capsule of when you still had hope for the game.
Well, it's halftime now, so I'm going to go take a shower.
Oh, okay. To wash away your sins?
Yes.
Finally. You are covered in sins lately. I didn't want to say anything, but there are a lot of sins on you. Well, cool. Yeah. Then I'm going to have some leftover pizza that I've got here and then go do one of my big walks.
I'm excited for you.
Me too. I think my friend Meredith's going to come. Right. And then later I'm having dinner with Sabrina. I'm so excited.
All right. Well, bye, everybody.
Laters.